Shall we be slothful in an age like this? Slothful in a life like ours? Slothful when heaven is at stake? Let us be imitators of the illustrious host who inherit the promises. This is a quote coming to you from the pulpit commentary. In this broadcast, we are continuing our new series based on the theme, Striving for the Mastery. In this particular broadcast, we will use as our main text, 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10, which says, "Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body." Now, before getting into this broadcast, I would like to just interject some facts of what's going on in America right now. The present government is paying people large sums of money not to work. And the people are not going to work if they can stay at home and enjoy themselves and still get a check. What's happening is people are thinking, well, I could collect unemployment, so why should I go to work? I could stay home, enjoy myself, and still get paid for it. As a result of COVID coming to a close, many of the businesses are starting to open up again. And they are right now struggling to find new workers. And many of them are blaming the monthly federal unemployment benefits for their predicament. The facts show that 16 million Americans right now remain on unemployment. And weekly, they are receiving $300 in federal unemployment. So this gives them a reason to stay home, because half of those unemployed receive more income from staying home than going and getting a job. They're making more money by staying home than if they would go out and get a job. Well, we have a predicament in this nation right now. And consequently, there is a spirit in this nation. You can, people are talking about it. You can see it in the restaurants. You can see it in the grocery stores or in the other stores. There is a spirit, and it's the spirit of slothfulness. And I'm afraid that this spirit is creeping into the church as well. Listen to what Barnes knows how to say on this matter. "An idle man and a Christian are names which do not harmonize. Every Christian has enough to do to occupy all his time, and he whose life is spent in ease and in doing nothing should doubt altogether his religion. God has assigned us much to accomplish, and he will hold us answerable for the faithful performance of it." Then we go to the commentary Romans, verse by verse, by Newell, and this is what he has to say. "Satan would use the doctrine of grace or the assurance of faith to settle down believers into spiritual slothfulness. Watch against that." So we see here, like the unemployed living off the government benefits, we have some Christians who feel that it's okay to be unemployed for the Lord, living off the benefits of grace and faith. After all, they say they are under grace, they're saved by faith, their ticket is punched, so to speak, they're on their way to heaven. So why work? We could just live off the benefits of grace and faith. But the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 6:9, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation." And then he went on to say in verse 11, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Notice he said, we desire that every one of you, not just the preachers, not just the teachers of the word, not just those in ministry, but every one of you do show the same diligence. We are all, as believers, as Christians, to show the same diligence. And that word diligence there is the opposite of slothfulness. And if you will cultivate diligence, then you will overcome slothfulness in your life. It's very important that you cultivate diligence. Well, what is diligence? Well, what the writer is talking about here is that you show the same diligence, you show strenuous endeavor, constant earnest effort, exertion of body and mind, passion and zeal. And if you will do that, you will have hope, because hope is the fruit of spiritual diligence. Hebrews 6:11-12, the writer said, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence." And then he went on to say that you be not slothful. What he was saying there is, do show the same diligence, the same strenuous endeavor or zeal or passion or effort, that you become not slothful or remiss or negligent. Show the same diligence that you become not slothful. Now, the sin of slothfulness, as we said, is opposed to diligence. And when a Christian becomes slothful, what he does is he takes up his Christian profession in a weak manner. He manifests no earnestness, no energy, no enthusiasm. And he easily permits the claims of King Jesus to be relaxed or even denied for the sake of self-indulgence. Now, Jesus demands body, soul, spirit, life, time, powers, all. He demands all. If you call him Lord, then he must be Lord of all. But when a Christian is slothful, he easily permits these claims of Jesus, Lord Jesus, to become relaxed or even denied so that he can live a life of self-indulgence. He lives this listless, easy Christian life. Listen to what the preacher's homiletic commentary said. "If a religious life is to be worth anything at all, it must be a life in earnest. No man can truly be his without being wholly his. Beware of this subtle, seductive, ruinous Christian sin of slothfulness." Throughout the Bible, we see that Christianity promotes industry, it promotes work. It teaches the value of time. We see this especially in the book of Proverbs. It presents numerous and important things to be done. It inclines the believer to be conscientious in the improvement of each moment. Adam Clark said, "An idle, slothful person can never be a Christian." Now think about that. An idle, slothful person can never be a Christian. And this is brought out in Romans 12. The Apostle Paul, he was giving a list of exhortations. And in verse 11, he said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business. He was talking about all labor that we may have to do, but more specifically in spiritual business. Not being slothful or remiss. Don't be slow and pokey, or don't be a lounger where you waste time in improper habits. But you're fervent in spirit. Be fervent in spirit. Now, diligence is fed by this fervent spirit. That when you have this fervency, you will have no problem being diligent or working for the Lord. In fact, this is the cure for slothfulness, is to have this fervency of spirit, to have a zeal, a fervency. And these words, fervent in spirit, mean you're boiling over in spirit. You're zealous, you're enthusiastic, you're fervent. Fervent in spirit. This feeds diligence. Serving the Lord. You regard yourself as a servant of the Lord, and you regard yourself as serving the Lord, whether it's in a lawful employment or in your duties for Christ. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, that you become not slothful. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. But we want to ask ourselves, what does it look like when you are fervent in spirit, serving the Lord? Well, we have two verses of scripture that answer that question. Number one, Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So to be fervent in spirit serving the Lord, you do your work with all your might. You do your duties with unwearied diligence, vigor, earnestness, enthusiasm, might, care, resolution. You throw yourself into it, no matter what the difficulties or discouragement is. Life in the Spirit Study Bible said, whatever work we do, we should undertake it with all our hearts as working for the Lord. What does it look like when you're fervent in spirit serving the Lord? It also is found in Colossians 3:23, which says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. You do your duties heartily, cheerfully, diligently, even when it's unto men, but you have an eye unto the Lord, that you regard your labor as a service to the Lord. You work as though Christ is your employer. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, that you become not slothful in business, being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, doing all with all your might, and doing it heartily. Now, in closing, we want to look at two quickening motives to excite diligence in every believer. These are two motives that will get you working for the Lord. They're found in our opening text, our main text for today. 2 Corinthians 5:9-10 says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Paul said there, wherefore we labor. He was expressing the notion of diligent and strenuous effort. We are ambitious. We exert ourselves. We take pains. We strive earnestly after with the utmost energy in the accomplishment of it. Wherefore we labor. And what is the stimulus to labor? What is the reason why the saints are so diligent and laborious, why they're earnest and intent upon it? Well, he goes on to tell us, number one, we labor, whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him. We labor that we may be accepted of Jesus. This is our sole ambition and desire. This is a fixed principle that controls us everywhere. This is our one aim, the purpose of our whole life, that we will be well-pleasing unto the Lord, that we can bring a smile to Jesus' face, we can bring joy and delight into his heart, that we can please him everywhere and always, that our person, our services may be accepted with him, and that we will hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." This is why we labor. This is why we put effort and we're zealous and we're passionate, that we may be accepted of him. And the second reason why we labor is because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear. We are going to appear openly, without covering. All the hidden things are going to be laid open, shown, and we're going to be shown in our real nature and character. And we have to give an account of our talents, our offices, and our trusts, and whatever was done while we are in this body. This is why we labor. Adam Clark said, we labor to walk so as to please him, because we know we shall have to give a solemn account of ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ. With that in mind, knowing this, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, this is what he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Here Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all, than all the other apostles that came before him. He said, I labored more abundantly. I labored with so much heart and success. It implies extreme of toil. This is how Paul labored. He knew that he labored because he wanted to be accepted of Jesus. He wanted to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he knew also that he would give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. He labored. He didn't say, I just labored. I labored more abundantly than they all. I leave you with these questions from the opening quote. Shall we be slothful in an age like this? Slothful in a life like ours? Slothful when heaven is at stake. Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of the theme, Striving for the Mastery. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that you will walk in the truth every day of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.